satisfied with some of the language of that law, not the entire thing, but some of it, and the judge preliminarily enjoined the city and the Atlanta Police Department from enforcing that against homeless people.
Wow.
That's what's going on now, and then the case will continue, presumably, after the Olympics are finished, and they'll hopefully have a trial, et cetera.
Is this a particularly liberal judge, or is this something that might issue from a conservative judge?
This judge, from what I understand, is sort of identified as being somewhere in the middle. It's hard to tell. I mean, it's sort of, sometimes you get surprised with judges who can be sort of identified as favoring sort of one side or the other in other issues. You can't really predict that well.
You know the name of the case?
Yes, Atchison versus Atlanta.
And so the essence was the law was too broadly designed, or what was the nature of the decision the judge made in terms of the specifics? Do you know?
Well, the attorneys for the seven homeless men who were the plaintiffs in the suit were challenging both facially and in the application, in its application, two ordinances and a state law, a criminal trespass law, an ordinance that prohibited aggressive panhandling, and an ordinance that prohibited certain types of activity, basically being in a parking lot, you being near cars, behaving in a certain way.
An anti-squeegee man law.
Not so much that, but as just actually being in the parking lot, crossing the parking lot grounds, being anywhere near cars that were parked, not, you know, squeegee activities.
In public parking lots?
Public parking lots, yeah. And also they brought a general, it's called a 1983 claim against police sort of harassment and abuse of homeless people there.
That's a civil rights action. Right?
Yeah, civil rights action. They had affidavits, 161 affidavits from homeless people who had been either arrested or told to move on, et cetera, by the police. And that seemed to have an impact upon the judge. And when they first requested a temporary restraining order a few weeks ago, the judge granted a temporary restraining order on part of the parking lot ordinance, which, among other things, had prohibited anyone from, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but being in a parking lot and acting in a manner not ordinary for a law-abiding citizen.
Too much.
That was the language of the ordinance, and the judge had a problem with that. It obviously didn't limit the discretion of police officers enough in terms of what they could construe to be criminal activity. So he gave a temporary restraining order on that section. Mm-hmm. And later, when the issue came up, preliminary injunction, he did not enjoin the city and the city officials on most of the points on which the plaintiff's attorneys had requested, but he did on one section of the anti-aggressive panhandling ordinance, which basically had to do with making second requests and essentially, I'm paraphrasing again, but forcing oneself on the presence of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of thing. So
and what is your answer to, let's say, a critic who would say to you, well, here's a poor citizen trying to get down the street and he's being harassed by 63 panhandlers who smell like who knows what? I mean, goodness gracious, don't we want to give these citizens some kind of protection? What's your response to that?
Well, first my response would be we should look at the root of the problem and try to figure out ways whereby the citizen wouldn't have to be harassed, as that citizen might perceive the situation to be, but the 63 people wouldn't have to be requesting food or begging for food on the sidewalk. They would have other less problematic ways of going about meeting their needs for food, if that's what, you know, they're requesting. There are guarantees in our Constitution of freedom of speech, and our viewpoint is basically that while people don't have a right to threaten or hurt or harm, et cetera, other people really infringe on those, you know, rights of those passersby. There's a question as to where do you draw the line? What do people have a right to say or not say? What do people have a right to, you know, not have said to them, et cetera? And courts have determined that begging or soliciting for charitable purposes for oneself, soliciting for alms, is constitutionally protected speech. They can't. It doesn't mean people are free to do it in any way they want, or do it in, as I said, a threatening way, et cetera. But the question then becomes, where do you draw that line? And we have to be very careful not to draw the line in such a way that it really infringes on the rights, free speech or otherwise, of those people who unfortunately find themselves in a situation where they need to solicit on the streets for money or food.
Were these laws new laws, or were they old laws that were being challenged in the courts?
In that Atlanta case, it was a mixture. The parking lot law had actually just been rewritten. There had been a lawsuit. It had been written in a different way with several different provisions. There had been a lawsuit earlier. That lawsuit was being handled in the 11th Circuit, United States Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, and my understanding is the parties came up with some, or with an eye towards settlement. They ended up, that ordinance was rewritten, but the advocates for homeless people down there, or at least some of them, weren't happy with the way that was written. It was still overly broad and a problem, so that was part of this new lawsuit that was brought. There are also, there's an aggressive panhandling ordinance being considered right now in New York City, which we've also had a problem with, and the New York Civil Liberties Union and some other groups have also been involved in trying to assist the city council in, if they're going to be passing an ordinance like that, doing it in a way that doesn't infringe on people's rights.
New York City has banned panhandling in the subways, but protected panhandling on the streets, right?
Right. There were two cases that came up in the early 90s. One, the case involving the subways, the court upheld the ban on panhandling there based on the ground that it was essentially enclosed space and coercive and that sort of thing, and that banning it there didn't limit people's rights to solicit for alms in other places through other avenues. However, when there was a loitering, it'll be illegal to loiter for the purpose of begging ordinance challenged, the courts struck that one down on the ground as a violation of the constitutional rights of the individuals.
And that was Laura Bender of the National Law Conference on Homelessness and Poverty. We haven't got time to finish it. Lorelei is here and reclaiming her time, as well she should. You have been listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz, every Monday and Friday. We're going to be back again on, I guess, Monday. Yeah, right, Monday's next at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you want to be on the air, you should give me a call at 427-3772. Actually, that's the number on air. You can try that, but you can also try 423-4833. That's HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And I will attempt to conclude this interview on Monday, if you stay with us, plus other exciting interviews with Catherine Birdseed Byers, with Michael Sheridan. We have the second half of that interview coming up. We've got interviews if you've got ears. So in the meantime, hang with us, and we will attempt to hang with you. As they say, if we hang together, then, unless we do, they will hang us all separately. And stay well hung in any case. And I'm now going to hang up on you. And here's Lorelei. Thanks again.